Today is November 15th, 2020, and Sunday morning here in Yerushalayim. We're in the midst of our winter, and all of us praying that the news about the various vaccines being developed, the sooner the better. Be'ezrat Hashem le'yov koach. I want to say Shavua Tov and Chodesh Tov to everyone. Some interesting documents came my way about questions that we have discussed. And I'll give you a drop. I knew about this, and here I have a total printout. And the story is as follows. Irwin Shapiro, my dear friend, should live and be well, Refuah Shleima. Irwin was a Talmud of the Rav in the 50s. 54, 55, and that era. He went in and became a went into the family business and did a lot of traveling. And one time he was crossing the dateline and he had the problem of both Sphira and the Shabbat. And he called the Rav, this is 1968, and he set up a recording device to record the conversation. And here is a printout, I just want to read the last part of it. They dealt with Sphira, the Rav gave him Eitzah, but you know, to count in the middle and each day and then coming back and count without a bracha and then continue with a bracha. Not an easy, because he lost the day and then gained the day. He gained the day and then lost the day, crossing to Japan and then coming back. What about Shabbos? Mr. Shapiro then proceeded to ask about Shabbos observance in Japan. The Rav initially said, I have no solution. This is the Rav talking, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, David. You follow, it's not Aaron Rakefet talking. The Rav said, I have no solution, and elaborated. The solution to keep Shabbos as the locals there is one for an individual who's in despair. Because though it's practical, it's not logical. In other words, what the Rav was saying, you're traveling and it's not your seventh day yet. You've jumped ahead. You just are on Friday. The international deadline will be Sunday. Please sit over here, right in front. This is an issue we discussed in class in great detail 40 years ago, and now in passing, the international dateline. So it's practical but not logical. Mr. Shapiro persisted, arguing that though there are those that keep Shabbos on Sunday, it's not pragmatic. In other words, the man wants to do business, and if he keeps Shabbos on Sunday, he's going to lose out on that day in Japan. The Rav acceded to him, concluding, all right, keep the Shabbos as the local Jewish community in Japan. All right, so you see, v'di'evad, we all fall back on Rav Menachem Kasha. The Rav concluded the call, wishing Mr. Shapiro keep well and have a good trip. And Mr. Shapiro replied, thank you, Rebbe, have a good Shabbos. I imagine the person that wrote this up put in Mr. Shapiro. I would call him Irwin. If you recall, we spoke about the Minchat Chinuch, and Mike Schatz wrote to me about the Minchat Chinuch, that in the original edition of the Minchat Chinuch, there were an unusual amount of Roshei Tevet. Roshei Tevet are a tremendous problem, and thank God in Israel, the trend is here to minimize Roshei Tevet, to spell it out. There's an encyclopedia of Roshei Tevet, Ashkenazi was involved, etc. It's hundreds and hundreds of pages of Roshei Tevet. So he told the story that he used to carpool with Rabbi Yitzchak Kalbishtam, who told me on the basis of family tradition that these Roshei Tevet, when the earlier editions, because the Mincha Chinuch was originally Rabbi Babbitt's personal notes to Sefer HaChinuch. He had not originally intended to publish them. He had intended to publish a commentary on Chumash, but the manuscript was destroyed, shall we say, in the unpleasantness between the Hasidim of Sanz and Sadegua. I can't go into that now, but go back in your time machine when a guy named Darren Rakefet gave lectures on the history of Hasidut, and Gutzel Upkitten, what went on between the Sanz of a Hasidim and the Rushin of Hasidim, which Sadeger was the main example. And I don't know, I don't believe anyone was killed, but many were injured and manuscripts were destroyed. The Sanz of Rav suggested to the Minchat Chinuch that now he should publish his notes on the Sefer Chinuch. And that explains why you have so many Rashi Tevet in the original edition, although in Israel there's edited editions with Baruch Hashem. It's a pleasure to study with. I wish I would have had these. I always say I was born before my time, because when we grew up, boy, did we struggle on a Minchat Chinuch, on a Ramban. Today it's sugar-coated. It's like an ice cream cone. I just want to make I just want to make one more comment on Shmini Atzeres. I see our discussion of Sukkah and eating in the Hasidim outside of Israel. Yetev Yatvinin, Baruch Lomar Vachinin, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Zayin. So I want to make clear, of course you should sleep in a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. Here, Baruch Hashem, the climate is infinitely better. I personally can't sleep in a sukkah because I live, I described it to you last time, where I live, it's the top floor, and it's a miracle I can build a sukkah that stands. It brought back memories, not happy memories, but the first time I built the sukkah here, in other words, 1969, it was in the absorption center. I had already bought the apartment, but the building had to be completed, and I was in the Mekaz Kolita. So we had a communal sukkah. 1970, I built the sukkah. I was so happy. The whole sukkah blew down. It was unbelievable. Then I started reinforcing. Today, my grandchildren, this year was a great-grandson who helped out along with my grandson. So I called it a breakfast sukkah. It's a much smaller sukkah, but due to the Israeli army, it can withstand a torrential rain. Wondering what I'm saying? Very simple. When my grandchildren were in the army, so a number of them were Nachal Haredi. Nachal Haredi patrolled the Midbar Yehuda, and they were constantly arresting terrorists. They had these slips out of plastic that you put on the terrorist's hand, you couldn't get out of it. So my grandson brings one home from the army, shows it to me. I went crazy with joy. We went and they started selling it to put the sukkah together. It's fabulous. It can't be macabre tumor. It's plastic, etc. And you can tie down the dofanim. You can tie down the schach. And Baruch Hashem, I have it down to a science today. But I just want to make myself clear. As far as the Rav, you got to understand the Rav's mentality. Again, if you only heard my shayurim on this decades ago, my shayurim are ongoing. I'm just looking at more students in front of me. And you have to say, I don't want to repeat a shayurim. I have so much to give. God has to give me another 120 years to finish all the notes I have, all the chidushim in the office. So, and it's very sad because on certain topics I have information that few others have. I'll put it that way. I want to get it out of my system and leave it for the future generations to understand. Anyway, from the Rav's point of view, yeah, you can come up with Allah Hatzdakot, the Tish is so important. No, the Tish knocks out. Show me where it says in the Torah you have to make a Tish on Shmini Atzeres. But it does say in the Gemara, Yatev Yatvinim Baruch Lomar Barchinim. But it is true, there are a lot of theories. You quoted the Rav Shachter, Rav Yoshua. I have other sources, look into Aaron Wertheim, look into he did a doctorate at Dropsy on it. It's, yes, you're right, it was crowded, the main thing was to be by the Rebbe. The Vishnitz Rebbe just said that to Netanyahu, that the reason they disregard all the rules of Corona is that all his Hasidim will go off the path if they don't have a tish with the Rebbe. All right, if that's what your dictate is based upon, I'm in a different ballpark. I come from Lithuania, and what can I do? I have to respect Vishnitz, all right? The youth can't take what I took from Reb Yeruchim Gerelich, but I'm a Litvak, I have to admit it. But you got to get involved. So there is Yerushalmi, and there is a whole question of the conflict of feelings. How can you make a bracha leishev basuka if it is Shmini Atzeret? So that seems to be the Gemara's compromise, that you don't make a bracha, but you sit in the sukkah. But the Chassidim got involved, and this is the Sefer I quoted in detail, I'll just allude to it today, Rabbeinu Tzadik HaKolchein, Tzidkat HaTzadik, have you fellas ever studied it? He has hundreds of pages to justify not sitting in a sukkah, the Kedusha, the Heara, the rays from the Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's Tate the Satre, how can you sit in a sukkah, Shmini Atzeres? No, all this, a Litvisha mind, it doesn't hold any weight. If Kavan is, it's like not sleeping in the sukkah, Chabad and bells, and you don't want to interfere with the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence. A Litvisha mind doesn't comprehend this. And this is why the Rav said, if you ever have a machloikis with Chassidim, you combat them on the wall on two issues, Tfilah Shelo Bizman and Shmini Atzeres with the sukkah. Now, I do want to mention, you're in a different world, and I'm just being exposed to this world. Go to the Sfarim blog, 2011, October 12th, 2011. There's a wonderful article, The Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret Controversy, by my Talmud Chaver, Dr. William Gewirtz. And he's a great mathematician and a Talmud Chacham. And you'll see what he has to say. And he deals with many of this, the Yerushalmi and the conflict of feeling, the calendar already being established at the time of the Gemara, no longer Alpi Re'iyah. So there's a lot of material there that you will enjoy. But halacha lemaisa, one has to eat in a sukkah and Shmini Atzeres and Chutz Laretz, and sleeping in a sukkah may ikar hadin, although mitztayer plays a big role where it's a cold climate, and when you're living on a 10th floor like yours truly. Okay, so I took care of that. All right, now I'm ready to go further. What we spent some wonderful time on last week, we dealt with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Is it a time to fast, a time to be frightened, a time to be agitated? And the beautiful story I told in the Rav, volume 1, I believe it was, where the Rav speaks about his shock when he came to Germany, and in Yom Kippur they're singing tunes so happily, so merrily, and he comes from Litta, where they were shaking on Yom Kippur. But the truth is that both feelings have to be there. We're frightened stiff, of course, Yom Hadin, Mi Yichyeh, Mi Yamut. I need not tell you, with the magefa we have today, how frightening it is to be a human being. We just lost last week. To you, it might have just been a name. To me, it's many warm memories. Rabbi William Millen, of originally Brookline, Boston, was, if Yitz, shake your head if I'm right, I think he was in the very first class of Maimonides. Am I correct? Yeah, Rabbi Reuben is shaking his head. His family helped the Rav achieve what he did in Boston. And Billy later came to YU. He's one of the top students. He was there with Irwin Shapiro, with that Chabura Benny Bleich, and he died of corona. Many, many decades in Chinuch. I got an email from a student of mine who worked with him in the yeshiva, a day school, and he said, what a human being, what a person. So listen, mi yichyeh v'mi yamut, believe me, this Rosh Hashanah, I was shaking. On the other hand, it's a chag, God is forgiving our sins, lech al chol b'simcha. We know that from Ezra Nehemiah, that it's a time of joy, even Shalach Manis, a lot has been written on this. So the Rav said both are correct, and it depends on the personality. And he contrasted his great-grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi, the Beit Halevi, with Rav Chaim, and each one had their own approach. Then we want to begin a new topic today, and I have to say today is in my humble opinion, one of the most important shirim I will ever give, what I'm touching upon, what I'll reveal some information. And the question here, and I'm quoting now from Mishnah Halachot, Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Tav Chuf Chet. And the question here is, how much can you rely upon a doctor? And he tells you something. And is the man reliable? And this opens up an entire question of the cheskat kashrut of people on any topic you will mention. And I said to you, forget about medical doctors. All of our kashrut, just think today what we eat. And you open up Mishpacha magazine. You open up Ami magazine. I showed my grandson on Shabbos. We were looking at Ami magazine because a picture he did of me, a portrait he did of me, is in the magazine. And I said to him, you did, take a look. If I look at this magazine, I walk away with the impression that all of Yiddishkeit is nice clothes, fancy clothes, and food. Oh, what advertisements they have for food and this type and that type. And wow, we've come a long way since we were growing up in America and used to read labels on a chocolate bar to see if we could eat the chocolate bar. But all this kashrut that we insist upon is coming from all over the world. I eat so much salmon, it comes from Norway. All the cakes imported. Shabbos, we just had cookies from Holland. That we couldn't believe. I said to Malka, where did they get all these mashkichim? Everything is Afiat Yisrael with three different hashkachas. Poland, you can get Turkey. It's unbelievable how much food comes in here prepared in Turkey. So how do we have kashrut? And of course, it's based upon the fact, uman lamore al umato, that a person who has a business is not going to do anything to undermine the business. And it's the same concept of a medical doctor. The man has a reputation. He's not going to ruin his reputation. We mentioned, for instance, Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe Feinstein, I just saw what everyone's running to Abu Dhabi and to the Emirates. I already have students that have signed up for the first tour in December. I couldn't believe the prices they're charging. Hanukkah in the Emirates. For the hotel alone and the food, it's on to $3,000. That doesn't include airfare. All right, Baruch Hashem, Jews have money and they're enjoying life. I'm not opposed to it. Adarabba v'adarabba. We live on a level, thank God. In the Emirates, I saw the Rav HaMachshe, I think for the OU, he's telling everyone there's a tremendous problem here that you have nowhere else. What's the problem? You can't basically use milk from cows. It is so hot there that the milk doesn't last. They use camel milk, which withstands the heat. No camel milk. Could you imagine? We're talking here not stam chalav. Chalav, that's not kosher. Treif. And he says, all of you who are samech and Reb Moshe Feinstein, that it's only cow's milk and the big firms are not going to lie, umen lo mori al umnate, but that doesn't apply in Abu Dhabi, in the Emirates, and we have to be very careful, and it's a problem. All right, they can import milk from Israel, the milk in the cartons, that's the milk I use, that can stand for 6 months, and my children laugh at us, they can taste the difference. Malka and I love it because we're only two people. The milk never goes sour. It's not chamutz. And we don't taste the difference. But all right, my grandchildren are fine schmeckers and they taste the difference. Anyway, I got to tell you an amazing document I'm holding in my hands. It's an email from a dear student of mine who works for the OU in Kashrut. I've mentioned it before. All the Coca-Cola we drink on Pesach is due to Rabbi Norman Schloss. Rebbe, I hope you are well. In your shir on Sunday, means last Sunday, you mentioned kashrut and Hershey's. I felt compelled to tell you the following incident. About 25 years ago, I went to a Hershey's plant in Savannah, Georgia, where they were making chocolate milk, and it was accompanied by one of my bosses at the OU. After our inspection, we met with the plant manager over a cup of coffee. My boss said, quote, "You know, Rabbi Schloss is not here all the time. He's a Yotzei V'Nichnas." That's the hashgacha the OU gives on that particular product and that plant. And you know, the OU has policies. They decide what type of hashgacha, Yotzei V'Nichnas. And he asks, "Have you ever considered changing any ingredients or procedures?" To which the plant manager replied, quote, "Rabbi, you don't get it. Let me read you the headlines in the Wall Street Journal the day after we are caught." And now in big letters, "Hershey's cheating the rabbis. What are they doing to you?" Signed, Nestle's. Okay? So this in the world today, with the computer, with the internet, I don't even know what the other things are, but he quotes there, Facebook, Twitter, the mass media, could you imagine? It's not just Duman Lamorel Nafshei, they're really shaking, because could you imagine if they caught Hershey's cheating the rabbis, you'd find tremendous ads in every newspaper. If they can cheat the rabbis, what are they doing to you, the poor consumer? Signed, Nestle's. So Baruch Hashem, I think you know both Hershey's and Nestle's. Is Nestle still around? I haven't seen a Nestle's chocolate bar. But I know in Israel there are many products Nestle's. It's all with three different hashgachas. All right. So basically speaking, I showed you last week, we ended off the shiur. I showed you the Mishnah Brura. I showed you the Shulchan Aruch. That we absolutely, Simen Tav Reish Yud Chet, Sif Katan Aleph, we absolutely trust the medical doctor. We go with the klal, he's a professional. And if you recall, it's a very interesting Mishnah Brura there. He discusses women and a pregnant woman, and no one knows her soul better than the patient, including a pregnant woman. If she says she has to eat, you listen to her. And that the words of the Mishnah Brura have tremendous implications regarding the Yotzet Halachot that we spoke about at the end of the shiur last week. Now, I want to come back to Rabbi Menashe Klein. And he says, listen to these words. Now, this tshuva was written in 1978. So we're talking 42 years ago. It may be he wouldn't be this sharp if he wrote the tshuva today. But listen, I'm translating as I read. And he says, yeah, I understand what you're asking, but basically, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we believe the doctor. But he says, Bavanoteinu Harabim, today, with our many sins, the doctors of today, Kulam Rishaim Umishchatim Ularov Antidatiim Lechachiz. What a statement, that the doctors, Rishoyim, Mushchatim, I'm afraid to translate that, Mushchat, it's not a compliment. And Antidatim, now Antidatim, let me tell you something. Well, yesterday in Shabbat, there were tremendous demonstrations beginning on Route 1, they tried to close it down, by the people who opposed Netanyahu. And their hatred of religion, their insensitivity, what's gone on with these people, could you imagine you have to demonstrate on Shabbat, Dafke Shabbat? You have to force hundreds if not thousands of police to work, to be Mechalo Shabbos. Many of the police are from people, are Mesorati people. All right, now, Pialocha, if there's an incident in Shabbos and public welfare, I mean, it's a lot has been written on this topic. Do we have the right, Lechalel Shabbat, to keep the highway open so people shouldn't crash? People who are driving on Shabbos, a lot has been written. But Alocha Lamaisa, even if it's being Mechalel Shabbos, we have the responsibility to keep them alive. But it seems in this world, you see it in the United States, you see it here, The more educated you are, the more liberal you are. The communist theories that religion doesn't exist, it's the opium of the masses, quoting a Jew, Marx, a grandson of Gedolei Yisrael, and it's conquered the world. It's conquered the world today. These demonstrations, what goes on in my block, in my area, where all the kids rent apartments from Hebrew U with the tricolored flags or the multicolored flags, it's on that level, he may be absolutely right, that the more educated a person is, lo aleinu, part of that education is liberalism, anti-religion, etc. And the words, anti-datiyim lahachiz. And then he tells a story. Bididi haviyuv dahashta kodim Yom Kippur. He says, I had exactly this case before Yom Kippur. One of my students came to ask me about his wife. His wife is pregnant, and the doctor told her absolutely not to fast. So Rav Menashe Klein said, Tzilzalti ani laharofa. I called the doctor. By the way, from this, remember what I told you, you can reconstruct Jewish history from responsa literature. When he says he called the doctor, Benjamin, what do we learn from that? He spoke English. You follow? And you'll see it comes up in another chibur we're going to hit upon. But he spoke English. Spoke English. Rav Menashe Klein spoke English. Called the doctor. And I asked the doctor, why can't she fast? And the doctor told me, ki titztaher habe, that she'll feel bad. And it's not good when a woman is pregnant, she should feel bad. I asked the doctor, well, if she'll fast and she'll feel bad, what are the results? How will it affect the embryo? And the doctor said, shum daba, nothing. It has no results. And he said, if this is the way the doctor is speaking, that there's no pikuach nefesh here, there's no sakana for the embryo, then let her fast. What do we have to do in Yom Kippur? And I'm quoting him. The Torah commanded us to feel bad. The Torah commanded us to lehitanot, to torture ourselves, quote, end quote. And absolutely she should fast. Now, from this little story, what do we see? In other words, in order to ask a question of this nature from someone who is an expert, it's not enough that he's an expert. He has to be knowledgeable of what Torah is about as well. This doctor, he doesn't say whether he's Jewish, non-Jewish, but evidently he's talking about a non-Jewish doctor because this is the original question, can you be samach on a non-Jewish doctor who tells you you can't fast? What do we see from here? If the man doesn't know what Yom Kippur is, how can you ask them the question? And this is an absolute requirement. Whenever I would get a question or people would ask me or students, I would always tell them, you can be samach on a non-Jew, but there's one condition, that he understands what you are asking. It's not yet to fast. Of course it's better a pregnant woman shouldn't fast. Aaron Rakefit, it's better he shouldn't fast, of course. But Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. I want to tell you, I had a very similar situation, a very delicate question, and word by word, the same situation. An early graduate of Stern College, a Balat Shuva from Newark, she's dead many years. I still remember her maiden name yet. And she married another fellow, and I got to tell you, in the 60s, in the rabbinate, outside of the big cities, where did you find frum Jews? And these were Balei Tshuva from Newark, who were my Balei Batim in Maplewood, New Jersey. And she comes to me with a note from her doctor that she shouldn't be shomeret shivinikiyim, that she should go to mikveh in order to get pregnant, and this can be a real halachic question. I've spoken about it in great detail in relation to artificial insemination, husband AIH, that today we can solve all these problems that the Achronim had no solution for. If the woman's ovulates during the Shivanikiyam, that's when the husband has to reach the eggs. And today we can do it with artificial insemination. But there was a shaila of that nature. And I called the doctor and I spoke with him. And he didn't know what Shivanikiyam were about. He had no concept of what we're talking about. He just wrote, I still have that note until today in my Igrot Moshe. Because I called Reb Meisher afterwards, I had a long talk with Reb Meisher, and at that point there was not much we could do for her. Today, a world could be done for these type of shaylos in Israel because of PUA, because there's a whole organization here that can handle these shaylos and come up with amazing solutions. But I couldn't believe the doctor wrote a note, and I still have the note until today, a Jewish doctor. But what do they know about Yiddishkeit? It's like all the other Jews in America. 80% total assimilation, total amratzet, total intermarriage. Hashem Yirachem. So this is for sure, that when it comes to asking a question like this, you must ask the doctor who is knowledgeable. How do you find a doctor? Who can you tell? What can I tell you? It all depends on the doctor's upbringing, who he went to school with. Bush, the second Bush, had tremendous knowledge of Yiddishkeit. How do you have tremendous knowledge of Yiddishkeit? Because he went to Yale and he roomed with Donald Etra from the Etra family. Those of you from the coast recognize the name. He's a top lawyer out in the Los Angeles area. And Donald Etra would invite him to his home for Shabbos on the Upper East Side. And he knew about Yiddishkeit. Trump, as another example, I don't say he's a gadol hador in midot and seichel. I would beat him up and put a seasoned rabbi next to him and tell him, you don't open your mouth. First you talk with the rabbi, and the rabbi will formulate your public statement. But all right, it's too late, and he's Donald Trump. That's why he's Donald Trump. I'm not Aaron Rakefet. So, but Trump knows Yiddishkeit. He says, oh, I suffer. I can't call my daughter on Shabbos. The minute someone talks like that he can't call his daughter on Shabbos, it shows you, number one, that she's a Giyorit Tzadeket. That's number one. I hear that from other people. And number two, it shows he knows, he has an appreciation. So that is for sure, that even though a doctor has ne'manot, and then he quotes the Chatam Sofer here, and remember from where Rabbi Menashe Klein comes from, the Chatam Sofer is the Posek Achron. He can't argue with the Chatam Sofer. I've spent many shurim on this when I dealt with a Reuven. You recall what the Chatam Sofer wrote to his Talmud, who was a little bit upset with the concept of an Erev, and we put a wire up and we enclose the city and suddenly you can carry. And he said to that Talmud, you're an apikaris and a maritz, a boor and any ereichet, and you don't know what Torah and tradition are all about, etc. So for Rabbi Menashe Klein to be mekhil on a Erevin in Brooklyn, all goes back to the Chatam Sofer. So he gives an etzah here that it could be when you get one doctor's opinion, you should ask a second doctor and see if the two of them agree. And even though the first doctor might be upset when he finds out you asked another doctor, and by the way, there are doctors like that. I know a case in Hadassah where there was Lo Aleinu, the person died, but when they brought the person in, they were getting second opinions, and he's the head of the department. He told them, if you ask any other doctor, I'm not taking him. Put him in a different hospital. And yeah, you know, certain doctors are makpid, and maybe he considers himself a great expert. That's pshat in the Gemara. Tov she'rofim legehenim. So I once heard pshat that if a doctor considers himself tov, the best, he doesn't have to consult with anyone else, ligahenim. But there are, right, I hold that maybe this doctor was on that level. And he says, if the doctor complains to you, why are you consulting someone else? says this, Rav Mashkai has a lot of street smarts. He says, tell the doctor, my rabbi told me to consult two doctors. So once you blame your rabbi, all right, the doctor will be at ease. Let me go a step further. And this is not the heart of what I said was so important today, but this next paragraph, this last paragraph, this is the heart of the big difference between the YU world and the Haredi world, the right-wing world, or call it what you wish. There's the big difference between the Rav and many other Rashi Yeshiva. And if you look at the Ami magazine, I tell you, look how Rakefet can be bought off so cheaply, a 16-page article on him, and he's quoting the magazine all over. But if you look at that, the Ami magazine interview with me, so look how it opens, that Rabbi Frankfurter calls me modern Orthodox. I chop his head off. Modern Orthodox? Not in a million years. Modern Orthodox implies my Orthodoxy needs modernism. There's nothing wrong with Orthodoxy, nothing wrong with Torah, nothing has to be modernized, but if you want to define me, I am a Torah Jew in the Western world. And he got all excited. He said, that's the definition of the Rav. He said, you've defined the Rav. He said, I never thought of that way. I said, well, where do you think I'm coming from? We're Torah Jews in the Western world. Fine. This paragraph here, unbelievable. Umihu, he says, if you can ask a doctor who is Shema Torah and Mitzvot, because there's still a few of them left that are really Yirei Hashem, a few, Achadim. And if you can find one, then you can depend upon him, because he knows what Yom Kippur is and knows medicine. Otherwise, go and ask a Rav to paskin for you, but remember, it's Suffolk Nefasha. God forbid a person can get sick fasting Yom Kippur, and therefore listen to what the rabbi tells you. All right, this is a very interesting statement. Wonderful. Tell me, where are these doctors supposed to come from? The Haredi world? It's the state of Israel? Hundreds of thousands of children are being educated without knowing the core curriculum. Could you imagine? Kids don't know English. Kids don't know mathematics. Kids don't know computerization. I see my great-grandchildren at the age of 2, 3, 4. They know more than I do already about their sitting, playing. It's beyond words. These little gizmos, these gadgets, they're pressing buttons. Wow, it's a different world today. And kids, you leave them crippled. How can they make a living? Many of them leave. I don't know where the percentage is higher. In the Dati Lu'umi world, we have a terrible problem because we walk freely in the Western world, and the Western world is very attractive to someone who isn't Bucky and Shas and Paiskim, and his heart is not filled with commitment to the romance of the Jewish people. I've spoken about it many times. We need tremendous melamdin to teach Torah. You have to inspire, but what are we going to get? These kids, no background. The Haredi world, the fall-away percentage, the bitterness. That kid in New York who's a Shomer Shabbos, I'm told, but leading a tremendous fight, Maisa, I think his name is, against Satmar, that he finished high school and couldn't speak English, couldn't read English, no mathematics. Where are we going to get these doctors? What are we talking about? And this is where we in Yeshiva University have a tremendous obligation. We have to show the world that Baruch Hashem, I went to Yeshiva College, all right, I left Lakewood, I wrote about it, you can all read Washington. I wanted to stay in Lakewood, my mother, the deal I met, but when I look back now, what a wonderful gift I got. The Yeshiva was on the highest level. And college, you could have gone to Harvard. I had tremendous professors. If you took it seriously, what you could gain, wow. And to be exposed to the Rav, it was really a blessing, a blessing. And the Modela Kaddish Baruch Hu. But what is he talking about here? And where are you going to get them? All right, nowadays, and here you have to give Rav Shmuel Belkin tremendous credit, and I cry that no one has written a doctorate on Rav Shmuel Belkin. It's unforgivable for Bernard Revel Graduate School that this problem has not been solved. I've spoken about it. I'm not going to repeat myself now, but you got to give Rabbi Belkin all the credit in the world. He organized Einstein, and that ended every medical school had a limit to the amount of Jews they would take in. Once Einstein was opened, it changed the world. You were competing with the top medical school. And I'll tell you a secret about my brother, but it reveals what Einstein did in its early years. They wanted to attract the brightest students in the United States to put the medical school on the map. And they announced any young man who had 3 years of college, certain major, certain average, could apply to Einstein. My brother never graduated college. Until today, my brother does not have a bachelor's. Many years later, in the 80s, while you contacted me, where is your brother? I said, my brother is in Petah Tikva, he's in Laniato, headed up the ophthalmology department. We want to give him a bachelor's. All these kids from YU who were accepted at the end of 3 years, 30, 40 years later, YU said, why do we give these kids bachelor's? It's our cover. They became world-famous medical doctors. So I contacted my brother. He contacted them. My brother gets back to me. What, are they crazy? They want the $25 for the certificate, you know, the bachelor's. My brother, go fly a kite. What do you have to waste $25? My brother can ein hara. I don't have to tell you how many descendants he has, but believe me, between myself and him, and mainly him, we're probably hitting 100 or more of direct descendants already, can ein hara. So what does he need? But it put Einstein on the map. The brightest and the best went there. And take a look where Zeicha, I said about Florida, either every Orthodox Jew is a doctor or every doctor in Florida is an Orthodox Jew. I couldn't get over. I was in Cleveland. The whole head of the whole Cleveland Medical, whatever it's called, I couldn't believe my eyes. Either every Orthodox Jew in Cleveland is a medical doctor, or every medical doctor is an Orthodox Jew. And this you have to give Rav Shmuel Belkin all the credit in the world. In the state of Israel, Baruch Hashem today, there is no problem asking a shaila. You have doctors who are tzaddikim yesodei olam. And every hospital has a Rav in Ichilov, in Hadassah, I don't have to tell you, Shaarei Tzedek, Laniato, Kanain Hara, Be'er Sheva, wherever you go, you have whom to ask a shaila. And this last paragraph has to be updated, but my question remains, how can someone in the Haredi world make this complaint if you don't educate your children? Not everyone is cut out to be a malaman, not everyone is cut out to be a posek. Don't misunderstand me. I told my own grandchildren, not that anyone ever listened to me, but the most important thing in the world is to be a posek, a lamdin, a teacher. But if you don't feel you're capable, then we can talk about medicine. All right, Baruch Hashem, I have quite a few grandchildren, medical doctors, for better or for worse. Tzaddikim, but medical doctors. You can ask them a shaila. They can paskel the Vahashim, be Yirat HaKavod and Yirat Hashem. So this is a comment. And I want to just end off this tshuva with the story that I told you in class and I'm so proud of. And they asked me in Lakewood if they can quote me, because I originally stated it here. You can find it and go back a few years. I said something very interesting. I said, we in YU, because we are successful, we have turned out thousands of prototypes of fabulous Jews, Torah Jews in the Western world. Fine. What the Rav accomplished, kol hakavod. But we have to help the Haredi world. But let's understand what I mean by help. When a Haredi comes out into the big world, I don't want him to succeed and be like why you are in Rakefet. The sign of my success is that he should be able to live in dignity. I'm referring now to the Rav's essay, Ish Halacha, and remain the same Haredi. And this is what happened at the Technion. In my grandson's class, there was a Ger Chassid. And this Ger Chassid, against all odds, he always wanted to be a doctor. Goynish Kup, terrific mind. His wife was upset with him, his parents were upset with him, and finally they made their peace. And he graduates and he gets his MD. And there he is at graduation, a Gera Chassid with a beard and payas and the Gera look. And the dean of the medical school in the Technion says, "We're very proud of you. We're not just proud that you got your MD. We're proud that you remain the same Ger Chassid that you came in." And this is very important. Not everyone has to be a YU person. Not everyone. You know my outlook. There are many different hashkafas. Halacha demands, commands respect. But halacha, you paint your own picture. The frame is very strong. That's the Vah Hashem. But the picture is your personality, who you are, and your abilities, and this is the challenge. And this is, I can't go into any more detail now, but I will go into great detail when we reach Evanessa and deal with Reb Menashe Klein. It's a few years down the line, but he was married twice. As you know, there are reasons how I know the intimate story. They're not happy reasons, but it's a reality. His first wife, I don't know what word to use, but it was very sad what she did to him. He never saw his son again after the Brit. And that son became a medical doctor. Jack actually knows who I'm talking about. From his second marriage already, all the children are Rabbeim, are in the Chassidish world, etc. So don't say to me, how did Rabbi Klein write this? He had a son, a medical doctor, an expert, a specialist, etc. That was his ex-wife's doing, not his. When he took over with his second wife and his big family, then those kids already remain totally within the Borough Park, Ramot, Bet or Gimel world. I think his shtibble in Ramot is in Ramot Bet or Ramot Gimel. Has one son there, one son in Borough Park, etc. So don't ask me about the medical doctor that you blame on his first wife, not on him. Okay. Gentlemen, we have arrived. We previously saw Reb Menashe Klein dealt with questions of Sfira, the boy growing up in the middle of Sfira becomes a bar mitzvah. Can he make a bracha? Can't he make a bracha? Interesting questions. We spoke about Reb Menashe Klein dancing a total horror with my classmate, Dr. Grach, Professor Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, about measuring matzah. Chas v'chalila, Torah is given to mortals, not to angels. No such concept of measuring matzah, measuring the morah. You did what your father did, what your grandfather did, etc. Life has to be lived in a normal framework. Yes, there was a big machlokes, the angels give the Torah, don't give the Torah. I've dashed on it many times. Nasu ha-malachim, kitot, kitot. But ultimately God decided to give the Torah, and if you give the Torah, it has to be within a human context. If you don't believe what I'm saying, see the Hakdama of the Ketzayis HaChoshen to the Ketzayit. Rabbi Yalev, the author of the Ketzayit HaChoshen, his Hakdama to the Ksot is one of a kind. Okay. Now we come to a different question, but it's Meinyan Liinyan Bioto Inyan. Person is sick. I have a friend, I don't want to mention his name, but it's not embarrassing. I have a student, actually, Shraga Yorzi, let me mention his name, from Kiryat Arba, Rabbi Yorzi, a dear student. Jack, he was from Toronto, and his parents were survivors. And he came to Israel after the Six-Day War, and his parents were hysterical. They were so worried, it's so dangerous here. And he comes into my class in BMT, Rehov HaBarbanel 24, where the change that affected all of American Torah began, exporting Torah to the Anglo world. And he tells me he's going to go back at the end of the term, and I looked him in the eye, this is 50 years ago approximately, and I said to him, Shragai, you are not going back. You are remaining here. P.S. I don't think he's gone back once. Check it out with him. He called me a few weeks ago to see how I'm doing with the corona, and he reminded me of the story. He said, you don't have to remind me. I lived that story daily, daily. Okay, Baruch Hashem. We had a little bit of influence in life. So he has to eat on Yom Kippur. He has diabetes. He has to eat. I still remember in BMT, we would send him into the side room, not where we were davening, and tell him, Shraga, you're going to have to sit down and eat. I have a friend. He goes to Ol Rivka, not this year. This year was impossible. He davened. Everything was early because we couldn't daven normally. But he goes to Ol Rivka, and he brings along food during the break. He goes into the side room and he eats. Pikuach nefesh, no question about it. Now, there are advances in medical science, as we all know. I need not tell you, I do a cataract operation. I remember my grandparents did a cataract. They had to be in the hospital 2 weeks, as I recall, and couldn't move on the bed. I don't have to have a cataract anymore. As the doctor said to me, two eyes, done. Finished. You're not going to come back for this operation. I didn't feel a thing. It's all laser surgery. The next day, a student called me from the Kollel, how I'm feeling. My wife says, my crazy husband is in Gris. He's in his office now. So it's a different world. They're advanced. No, we have a solution. You don't have to eat Yom Kippur. Intravenous feeding. The story I told you about, I don't think it reached the recording, it was before class, but a student of mine, his wife, was critically ill from corona. They actually said she's going lower, you know, she's not going to survive. Well, maybe our prayers helped. My wife says to Hillam, she's being let out of the hospital. She's from Spring Valley to Lakewood. She's being let out this week. She's going to go home to her son, and they're optimistic. Now, she couldn't eat. She just started eating this past week. How did they feed her? Intravenous. So if this is the case, we now have a solution on Yom Kippur. You can be fed intravenously. All right? Look what we're talking about. Okay. Watch. This tshuva is from 1999. It's much more recent. By the way, I just want to pause between the lines. I see Nachum Lam is listening. Nachum, I got the book you left for me. It's very, very moving. And Malk and I hope to call your parents this week to give them chizuk as best we can, because I know the week is very hard. It's the yard side of their daughter, and breaks our heart, a young lady, mother of two. But the lebedika dafgein vaita. Do you understand what I just said? The living have to go further. That's what my grandmother taught me 70 years ago. All right, back here. What's the story? And here he's writing to a Dr. Mashkevitz, 1999. Maybe some of you know the doctor. I have a feeling it's a doctor in Borough Park. And what do we see from this? The doctor corresponded with him. He says to the doctor, I got your wonderful letter, and I'm sorry I didn't answer you until now. I've been very busy, but now I'm going to answer you, but I'm answering you in Lashon HaKodesh. So that tells you right away the doctor wrote to him in English, and he understood English. But when he writes a tshuva, he writes in Lashon HaKodesh. And he says, he makes a case here for writing in Hebrew. I have to be honest with you that when I took notes from the Rav Shem was Yiddish, but my notes were all in Hebrew. In other words, simultaneously, as the Rav spoke Yiddish, I wrote in Hebrew. Why did I write in Hebrew? Because I felt to write notes on Gemara, you have to write in Hebrew. I understand what he's saying. He says, I'm writing to you in Hebrew because this is Divrei Torah, and this is the Lashon that the Torah was given on, and this is why we praise ourselves, the Jewish people. Ata bachatonu mikol ha'amim. Ahavta otanu v'ratzitu banu v'romamtanu mikol ha'lashonot. That's from the davening on Yontif. There's no better language. Jack, I can't see what you're holding up. It's not clear. What chelik? What are you referring to? What chelik and simon? Oh, the tshuva. Thank you, Jack. I'm quoting from Mishnah Halachat, chelik tet vav siman kuf pei hei. I repeat, tet vav siman kuf pei hei. And he says, I'm writing to you in Hebrew. I think that's beautiful, and believe me, Eliezer ben Yehuda would have nachat from those words. All right, and I'm always mitpael. I mean, just think of the miracle that happened here, that we have a kibbutz galyot, and my great-grandchildren speak Hebrew better than I do, quicker than I do. They all have to be geniuses. 2 years old, they rattle off Hebrew. I never heard anything like it. Kanayin hara. Look how we resuscitated the language. Mamish miraculous. And he says, and I hope that you will be able to understand what I wrote to you. So you see, the doctor wrote to him in English, and he's responding in Lashon HaKodesh. But like the doctor, if it's a Borough Park doctor, all he has to do when knock on a neighbor's door has to be an avreich, a Talmud Chacham, a Malamed, a Shtikel, a Chassidish Rebbe, an Ingamson, a Chassidish Rebbe. I'm quoting from Solomon Pohl's book now about Williamsburg. So he found someone to translate. Shouldn't be a problem. And now, the story is as follows. I reconstruct it. You can reconstruct it from the Tshuva. That this doctor called him before Yom Kippur, and he told him that he has a patient that must eat on Yom Kippur, and the patient is very upset about it, and he says, Al pi dakei harafuah lo yuchal latsum b'Yom Kippur. There's no way this patient should be allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. So Reb Menashe Klein gave him an etzah. I said, give him fluid, belushin, what they call intravenous, or IV. And that way he'll be able to fast. Maletu kvoda asalo bakashato. You did what he requested. You did what I told him. And you've prepared him before Yom Kippur, and on Yom Kippur they gave him intravenous, and he had a wonderful Yom Kippur. All right, this is past tense. Now it's after Yom Kippur. This doctor must be ashamed of the Torah mitzvah. The fact that he doesn't write Hebrew doesn't mean he's not from. And he was troubled by what he did. And he turned to Reb Menashe Klein in English, and he said, maybe I shouldn't have done this, because I have treated thousands of complications for 13 years that I'm practicing medicine, and I never did anything like this. And after all, intravenous has been around for a good 20, 30 years now, and I never yet heard a psoc like this, to give someone intravenous that he should be able to fast. And now he says, I'm worried. There are thousands of Jews, from Jews, that are sick. Thousands of from Jews that may hear they can fast on Yom Kippur if they take intravenous feeding. And I am worried that they will turn to doctors requesting the intravenous for themselves, for their parents, for other elderly people. The aim l'dover sof. There'll be no end in sight. Not for the doctors, not for the patients. And you asked me to review my psak before the next Yom Kippur. Gentlemen, what we're touching upon here is the heart of Yiddishkeit, the heart of halacha, the heart of the divine system. And let me tell you two stories from life. Two stories. We heard that the Rav, when he took ill and was suffering from quite a few ailments, that he arranged on Yom Kippur to have IV. If my memory is correct, and anyone can fill me in or correct me, he was worried about the IV. It shouldn't be a Jewish person making the chabura. They arranged for a non-Jewish lady who was a nurse. She fed the Rav on Yom Kippur through the intravenous. It's one story. That story I heard ish mi pi ish. I'm living in Israel. The Rav was in Boston at the time. The other story I heard directly from one of the people involved. The Rav had a younger brother who was outshadowed by the Rav, but in his own right was a goan adir, tzaddik yesod olam. You all know who I'm talking about. I knew him quite intimately, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron had a Talmid Muvhak, who was one of my closest friends, confidants, Rabbi Dr. David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo. David and I davened together, sat near each other for tens and tens of years. His wife was my student, Michlala, Deborah Sparrow, early 70s. You know David's children. David was one of a kind. What the Arabs have killed, what the terrorists have killed, what that tragedy to kill a father and a daughter the night before her wedding. She had already gone to mikveh, and they went out to have a cup of coffee on Rehov Emek Rafaim, and the rest is history. It's, I believe, 2003, something like that. So David told me, Rav Aaron was sick. You all know he suffered also heart problems, etc. And finally they told Rav Aaron, you must eat on Yom Kippur. And Rav Aaron went, maybe he heard what his brother did, and exactly intravenous. And David went over to him. I'm repeating word by word, syllable by syllable. David is standing in front of me. His picture's in my office, as you know. And And he says, Aaron, Reb Aaron, I said to Reb Aaron, my Rebbe, Rebbe, what you're doing goes against everything that you have ever taught us in Halacha. Torah is given to mortals, not to angels. Quote, end quote. I repeat, Torah is given to mortals, not to angels. What you are doing goes against everything you taught us. And you know what Reb Aaron answered? Heard this from David. Quote, David, you are right. But what can I do? Sisfot Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. What can I do? I can't say it any better. Here you have the conflict head on. Should we encourage this? Should we encourage the IV? Should we encourage the intravenous? Do we have to go above mortal existence? Are we angels? Or are we humans? And if someone has to eat Yom Kippur, I once heard a big rav say this, if you have to eat, you have to bench besimcha and make a bracha besimcha. And there's a whole, you'll see in the Achronim, if you have to say Yalla V'yavo, B'yom HaKippurim Hazeh. Not Pashat. How do we turn? And this is not a question for the average individual. Halavai, they fast on Yom Kippur in Israel, Baruch Hashem. I think 80% of the population fast. Maybe I'm overstating it, but a good deal here fast. Baruch Hashem. This is a question, Gedolei Yisrael. We're dealing here with Mori Rebbe, the Rav. You're dealing here with Reb Aaron Soloveitchik. I also should call him Mori Rebbe. I learned a great deal from him, a great deal. These are Jews that you don't find on every street corner. And what a question. What a question. And what implications? If they do it already, the doctor is right. Thousands will stand on line. All right. Let's see the sources. I don't know if we'll finish it all this week, but let's begin. I have to tell you that Reb Menashe Klein, who was totally rational, underlined the word rational. What's your first name? Moshe. If you know, I have a class list, but I have to be sure you're going to come back and it's not just a sightseer, a voyager, as they say. I love students, but I need students. The Rebbe needs students. Without students, the Rebbe can't exist. I have here their list. This is all over the world, I see, from who's sitting here. Wow. He's totally rational. This is the same Reb Menashe Klein who went crazy with that sphere question. Don't ask questions like this. Torah is given to normal people. God never said, the Torah never said, that no male child should be born during the 49 days of sphere, so there shouldn't be a problem with his making a bracha when he changes from a katan to a gadol. Torah is normal. Kid does what he has to do. When he was katan, he made a bracha. When he's gadol, he'll make a bracha. Remember how agitated he was against the question at the end? And measuring matzah, how he refused to budge. They were running after him and hitting him over the head. And he refused to budge. One shiva, a second shiva. Whoever heard of this taking measuring on yontif, how big the matzah is, how big the lettuce has to be. Ah. And here, a total about face. And he said, it's beautiful. He says, you did the ayaka, my dear friend. You say to me, that you never heard, he's saying to the doctor, of anyone using intravenous? He says, I did hear. Great Rabbanim, Gedolei Yisrael, who did this? Maybe you heard about the Rav. It's possible. Rav Menashe Klein, who is, as you know, very broad-minded. He went all the way from Satmar to YU. It was never a problem for him to deal with all the different hashkafas. Could be. He's writing about the Rav. But he says, even if I didn't hear about it, even if I would have been the first one to come up with this idea, it still would have been, Moshe, a tremendous achievement, because whatever we can do to minimize the chilul of Yom Kippur with eating and drinking, we have to do. And he says, isn't that pachut mikashir? The whole concept in Israel, I mean, Baruch Hashem, this is a Jewish country, and the more people that settle here from Teaneck and Lawrence will help make it even more Jewish. Don't criticize Israel. It's a reflection of the population. Halavai, the Belzer and the Satman, the Munkacha would have all settled here in the 10s, the 20s, the 30s. Would have been a different, different world. You all know that. That's axiomatic. Do you know that at the Kupat Cholim, they give out little plastic bags with water that they say, if you have to drink on Yom Kippur, how many bags do you need? It's unbelievable. Pachet, you know what the shear is, you blow up half your mouth, right, and spit it out. That gives you the shear. Well, they make a shear that is evidently shevel achaladam. Probably it's a little less than someone with a big mouth, but it's for the population. Could you imagine? The Kupat Cholim advertisers come, they give it out, etc. What an achievement. So we see, we do whatever we can to minimize the eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. He quotes the Gemara. How do we know we should minimize, do whatever we can? Quotes the Gemara. This is Reb Menashe Klein. It's nothing to do with eating and drinking, nothing to do with Yom Kippur, but it has to do with minimizing a prohibition. The Gemara is from Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Dalet, Amud Bet. And here it's talking about the terrible sins. I learned this, we learned all this with the Rav. It's not the Sanhedrin, the famous Sanhedrin. It was the second year. It took the Rav 2 years to do Sanhedrin, but we never did the Agada. Halavai, I look back now, so many years later, so, 70 years later, halavai we would have done chelik with the Rav. You follow? But all right, at that time it was not chelik. It's not a... All right, we gained a lot of knowledge how to deal with this Toshua Tav, Toshua Peh, Pseida. But chelik heina nechnokin, hamake aviv v'imo. And the Gemara says, Hamaka vivimon chayev ad sheyaseh bahem chabura. And you punch someone, you beat him up, all right, that's, we'll say, forbidden. But if you punch your parents and make a chabura, a scar, the blood, it shows, it congeals. How would you say that in English? A chabura like that. A bruise. I don't know, bruise might be too light. Maybe you're not chayiv yet, but something more substantial. A wound, a real wound. So you're chayiv mita? All right. Now we come to the classic question. So tell me, Moshe, you're a dentist. Your parents spent, they sent you now, Turo now has a dental school under their aegis. Your parents spent $50,000, $100,000 tuition, turn you into a dentist. Now your father needs a tooth replacement, or whatever, a root canal. No, he wants to have nachat from you. No, is there a problem? Absolutely. You're playing with his teeth, don't you draw blood? I play with my teeth. I know I have a nephew a dentist, whatnot. Don't ask what I go through. And I have to do this to my teeth and that, and spritz and water pick and a special, don't ask, an electric toothbrush and dental floss, all right? No, you draw blood? That's your father, you draw. All right, this is a well-known Shiloh. Benjamin, your father spent $250,000 to turn you into a heart surgeon.
He wishes, yeah.
Excuse me?
He wishes he'd been out of the heart surgeon.
He was a...
He wishes out of the heart surgeon.
Oh, he wishes. I thought... All right. Don't you sound like Biden. Biden said, I got the real Jewish nachat. My son-in-law is a big surgeon, what every Jewish mother wants. But it's I'll talk about it tomorrow at the end of Shia, at the after Shia, I have stuff to give out. Biden is the pinup boy for what reform and conservative done to America, okay? The pinup boy, show you a picture tomorrow. That's what happened in America. But not now, let's keep here. All right, you're a heart surgeon. Don't argue with me. Your father spent your mother, Ribbono Shel Olam. And now, lo or later, your father needs heart surgery. Who is better, his son, head of heart surgery at Shaarei Tzedek Hospital? Okay? He's going to come to you. Are you allowed to work on it? This is a very serious question. I need not tell you. You're going to cut up your father. You're going to open up. You're going to go valves. What you're going to do. Of course there's going to be blood. You're going to, who knows, in the middle of surgery, they'll put your father on the heart machines, and here you killed your father for 10 minutes, right or wrong. Then they resuscitate him. This is a son? Is he allowed? Eloheinu nechnakin hamecha aviv v'imo. All right. Gentlemen, a lot has been written on this. It's a very interesting shaila. Halacha l'maisa, we do paskin if your father will feel comfortable with you and wants you more than anyone else, then halacha l'maisa, most achronim permit it. But the shaila is a real shaila. All right, this is the Gemara. So the Gemara tells a story of Afmaka Adam l'refua pata. You look at the Gemara. I don't want to quote the whole Gemara, but the Gemara itself says that it's only if you hit your father with evil intention. You had a fight with your father. You got angry with your father. You slammed your father. Evil intention. But if hitting your father, drawing blood, is to save his life, to help him, to fix his teeth, it would be permitted. An open Gemara. But there's one problem. The Gemara continues. I'm holding in front of me the Gemara and the Schottenstein translation. Rav lo shadik lebrei lemishkale silu. Rav did not allow his son to remove a splinter from his skin. Mar berei de ravashe lo shavik levrei lemiftach le kavta dilma chavir. And the Gemara tells another story. Ma, the son of Ravina, did not allow his son to lance his boil. So you see, right here, these are two Amoraim, and even though the son is allowed to do medical procedures to help the father, here they didn't allow it. Why didn't they allow it? So the Gemara says they can get someone else to do it. You don't, Dafka, need your son. So the Gemara says, fine, you'll get someone else to do it. But someone else is also not allowed to smack you, to punch you, to draw blood from you. And the Gemara answers, "B'no shigagat chenek," that if a son does it, it's b'shogeg, but it's a punishment of chenek, arba mitat beitin. If someone else does it, shigagat lav. It's only a punishment of a negative prohibition. So certainly, get someone else to do it. For him, it's only a negative prohibition. And it's a lot better than a son doing the operation or doing the dental procedure, where if he draws blood, all right, it's b'shogeg, but it's shogeg of one of the arba mitot beitin. So what do you see from this Gemara? It's nothing to do with Yom Kippur, but what do you see? Whenever there is a prohibition, we try to minimize it. Better to have a stranger do the operation, better to have a stranger heal your teeth than your own son. Minimize the prohibition. Yes, it's shogeg. You didn't mean, you're not doing it perniciously. You're not doing it viciously. You're doing it as part of helping your father, your mother. But blood, chabura, a sore, lasting, what you said, a bruise, do what you can to minimize it. If you do what you can to minimize it, then, Yom Kippur, why are you upset with me? Intravenous feeding, we minimize it. Takes us back to Rabbanim Soloveitchik's answer. David, you're right. But what can I do? Sisfort Yom Kippur. It is Yom Kippur. Wow. Very strong proof. Rabbi Menashe Klein stands firm. Don't criticize me. Even if I invented this approach, which he says I didn't, but look what I have accomplished. And now I'm quoting Rabbi Menashe Klein after he cites this Gemara. Harei kol makom she'efshar lahakel b'isur mekilinan. Wherever we can be lenient, we try to be lenient. What does it mean? Not lenient in the sense of psak lahakel, but to minimize the prohibition, to lessen the prohibition. And he says, this is the whole concept of ochel shelo kishayur. We eat less than achilat pras. We drink less than the side of our mouth filled with water. Mikol makom, we do what we can. And if we could find another solution, im nuchal lahakel od, to minimize it, shelo lechol klal, v'rak sheyitkayem al yedei nozlim derech haveridim, intravenous through the veins, v'adai she'asur lo lechol afilu pachat mikishir, because we have a solution that will solve the bikuach nefesh. And therefore, anything we can do on this level absolutely should be encouraged. And this is in keeping with the whole tradition, what we see in Sanhedrin, what we see in Achila Shtiyah Pachat Mikishir, the whole tradition of trying to be as minimizing, as much as we can minimize the prohibition. And here you see Rabbi Menashe Klein, total contradiction to what we saw in earlier Tshuvot. Here he's requiring us to rise above normal human, mortal, everyday behavior. And if you can't eat on Yom Kippur, to arrange a nurse, if I understood correctly, non-Jewish, to come intravenous, feed you on Yom Kippur through the veins. this is black and white. There's more to the tshuva. I'll deal with it next week, and I'll throw in a monkey wrench, which Reb Menashe Klein acknowledges himself against his viewpoint, but this is absolutely his viewpoint. Halacha lemaisa, how many people do it? Can it be done? Can it be done easily? Can you get enough nurses? Can you get enough doctors? Intravenous feeding, enough of what contains the liquid. Wow, what are we talking about here? Just think for a minute. But that's what the doctor was worried about. Thousands will line up. Well, could you imagine what Erev Yom Kippur will be like for a medical doctor? He'll wind up not fasting. He'll faint on Yom Kippur because of all that he did. Erev. And halacha lemaisa, it's a very serious question with doctors, dentists. The general psakas, I understand it, is if the parents are makpid that they would feel more comfortable with the son, then we may kill. If, on the other hand, the son can convince them, look, you know, there is a medical ethic problem here as well. You're not really supposed to operate a serious operation on someone who's your own family, because there can be worries either way. If you fail, you'll take it too hard, etc., etc. It's an interesting question, which is discussed way beyond the halachic issue. But halacha lemaisa, what do you do if your son is a great specialist and there are very few in this field? So you see, you feel much more comfortable. He has the goods, he has the ability. This is the way I believe the psak is given. But lachatchila, something like this, they will always try to say, if your son recommends someone who's just as good and you're comfortable with it, that would be a better solution to avoid even a shogeg of chabura with parents. So to reiterate, we're not finished. But for today, Baruch Hashem, we've done a good deal. To reiterate, what have we done today? All right, the whole question of medical doctors, frumkeit in medical doctors, ability to guide rabbis. I personally suffer from the time David Applebaum was lo aleinu murdered by Arab terrorists, PLO terrorists. I suffer because until then, whenever I had a shaila, I always could turn to David. I always knew that he was both a great Talmud Chacham and a great Yirei Shamayim, and of course, a very knowledgeable emergency medical doctor. I've never been able to replace David. I know many doctors, but I don't have that same good buddy relationship, I'll call it, that I had with David. The question of intravenous, here you're touching upon the heart of what Torah is all about. And yet we can't deny, this is what I heard about the Rav, but I can't say I heard it directly. I heard it across the ocean, we'll say. At that time there was no social media like today, but I heard it across the ocean. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I heard directly from David and their whole conversation. We'll pick up exactly where we left off. Now, tomorrow is a, I can't believe it, I thought I, when I was preparing these lectures on synagogue council, I figured I'm talking about history. Oh, what's going on in Israel? If you people read the weekend papers, the Makor Rishon, the Besheva, the Alonim, how do you say Alonim in English? The Pasha sheets that they give out, it's more than sheets, it's little booklets. The Pasha sheets that they give out on Friday, you can't believe how much has been written about this problem, pro and con, including a big Paschweiler, I don't know how to say it in English, a big announcement by the rabbinate against Rabbi Melamed, by the Torah, by the Tzioni Dati rabbinate. And wow, this machloikis, this is real today on Sunday, November 15th, 2020, as it was in 1956. It's unbelievable. So Baruch Hashem, it's a problem that haunts us. We've never been able to solve it. Now, I have a problem here. I have a last week on Monday, Ellie Weinstein told me off that what, there are no freebies. And Ellie's not here now. I have endless freebies. I'm sorry, I have no way of giving it to the people listening. But actually, this you can, if you contact Morty Tarrigan, he can send you a link. This is Rav Usher Weiss, and here he deals with mitzvah avelut. Very interesting, the whole question of avelut, and whether you can do it by telephone, and what's involved in avelut, and what's avelut. Oh no, Nicham Avelut, as he did previously. Here he's dealing with avelut, the oraita, the rabbanon, one day, 7 days, 3 days, etc. Anyone interested, and Yomo, take what you think Ellie would be interested in. Here is the blog I referred to on Rabbi Gavietz, Dr. Gavietz, I should say, on Yom Tov Sheni and the whole question of Sukkah. No, this is the conversation. It has to turn up one way or another. This is on President Trump on Hakarat HaTov, and it deals with, this is from the 5 Pound Jewish News, it deals with how England was never makatovet to Churchill for saving them in World War II. They voted him out of office right afterwards. Here is the Sfarim blog that I referred to. Here are a number of hespedim on Reb David Feinstein. Anyone interested? Here is the best hesped I saw on Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks from the Washington Post. If anyone is interested, this is from a Kedem auction, what they auction off, letters. I have letters from Gedolei Yisrael. I must be a multimillionaire in theory, we'll put it that way. You can't believe, and these are rare Sfarim. It's interesting. If anyone wants this catalog, it's yours. It's not, it's outdated. This is Mayan from Shalavim, from Yeshivat Shalavim, if anyone wants this copy. Here are Jewish actions, past, and this is summer, and this is the winter. Fabulous issues. And finally, and I apologize to Morty that I can't give it to him, I'm suffering. This is the Pesach issue of Mishpacha from 2 years ago. But it doesn't lose its Rebbe David Twesky. There's evidently a relative sitting and listening to the shiur, has a big article on him and others, and I can barely lift it. And okay, let me just stand off properly until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vedanya. Morty, open it for any questions, please.
The recording has stopped.
Are there any questions? I hear.
Rebbe? Yeah. Rebbe, this is Mark Wiener. I had to switch devices. You mentioned the advertisements in the magazine. It's brought down not to read commercial advertisements in newspapers on Shabbos. And I wonder if the magazines that you read the articles on Shabbos or a calendar, How can you avoid looking at the advertisements?
Yeah, no, you're right. But I would view it this way. When I look at those pictures, I'm not looking to buy. I'm just looking to keep my hand on the pulse of Torah Jewry in the Western world in the year 2021. You follow? So you're right. I've often thought about that. It's not just the magazines. Any newspaper that you open is filled with advertisements. The truth is, they should be giving newspapers away free, because halacha lemaisa, the advertisements cover the cost of the newspapers plus a lot of profit. The shaila is even deeper. All these weekend alonim that we give out, they also have, well, you take a look at the alonim, how do I know about Emirates? How do I know about Dubai? How do I know about, it's all there, every advertisement with the pictures of the towers of the tallest building in the world. But all right, I don't look at it. I'm not going to Dubai or the Emirates. I look at it just to know what's going on. But the shaila you're asking is an interesting shaila. I guess Tovshi you shogig and v'lal you mezidin. It, I guess maybe you can say that since they don't mouth it, divru dava, they're just thinking. So efshe kem in matizayin or bimalamit zchut min klal Yisrael. We'll look at it that way. But, you know, it's the whole shaila of reading newspapers on Shabbos. A whole shaila of reading history books. The Netziv was, it caused a storm because his nephew, his brother-in-law, his, what was the relationship there? The Torah Tumimah to the Netziv, I believe it was a nephew, but you can figure it out, the relationship. It was a nephew. His father was married to Netziv's sister. So, he wrote that the Netziv read a newspaper on Shabbos. Of course, I don't know what the Hatzvira or whatever the newspaper was looked like, maybe. But, all right, this is an old shaila which undermined, it was a Tamatoran lake which sent it around as a fundraiser. And boy, the world came down on them that they're publicizing. What they publicized was an English translation of what the Torah Tamima wrote. All right, but you're asking a valid question. That's all. They're not looking to buy. They're looking to be informed. All right, is there anyone else? Yitzchak, my wife asked, is Avi Goodman still alive? How's his health? Wonderful. His wife? We were just thinking about them because a lot was written on the weekend also about Miriam Beinhorn. And, you know, it was the whole Chabura from Bnei Akiva. Look what we did in Israel. Look what we accomplished. Baruch Hashem, no one comes near Miriam. She will be remembered as long as Jews walk the face of the earth. But in general, Kaddish Goldberg. How is Kaddish Goldberg? Do you know?
He's my great uncle.
He what?
Kaddish Goldberg is my cousin.
He's your cousin. How is he?
He's doing okay. He has a heart,
he has
some issues, but he's doing okay. He's resting.
Okay, so I'm up to date on Kaddish because he called me right before I went into the hospital.
Yeah, that's my father, he knows.
Do me a favor, send him my very best regards.
My grandmother's first cousin.
Grandfather, so I have someone sitting in front of me who's his grandmother's first cousin, Kaddish Goldberg. Okay, are there any other questions? Yeah.
I know someone who years ago grew up in Morocco and told me he was a shomer, a mashkiach for Chalav Yisrael there. And he said there they milk the camels as well.
Right, well it would make sense.
So you have to be careful.
These countries that are warm, they taka use camel milk. In America, what they were choshish for was pig milk. But halacha l'maisa, any big dairy is stam chalav. They're not going to use pig milk.
I don't think you can get really milk from a pig. It doesn't sell well.
I don't know. That's what I was told. That was their worry. I said, what are they worried? I don't know. I'm not an expert. It has to be checked out. But
Rabbi, what is the plastic thing that they use to tie down the schach that you said you can use
it's called in Hebrew an azikon.
Azikon in Hebrew, and in English it's a. Yomo says it's called a plastic tie. It's something I never saw growing up.
It's called a zip tie in English.
Zip tie?
They use them for handcuffs.
Right. That's what they used in the Israeli army. They use it for handcuffs.
But if it's a mat and you could use that, that would solve the problem.
Well, but the mat has to be attached. The mat can blow away. In other words, what have you accomplished by a mat? That's what I had back in 69, 70. Was blown away in a minute. It was destroyed. Don't ask.
But the fact that it's a mat, at least if you tie it down, it'll hold the whole mat together.
All I can say that, but all I can tell you, these plastic aziconim, are fabulous. It's, I walk through Osharad, and they have a million piled up. It's beyond words what we have. You walk into Osharad before Sukkos, they're lulavim and etrogim and hadassim and aravot and everything to build the sukkah. Ashreinu shezachinu, we just need more and more Jews who will know what Torah is about. It's not enough to be an Israeli. We have to be Jewish Israelis, not Israelis of Jewish origin.
The Atzikon can touch the metal because the Atzikon is not...
All right, that's the Chumet HaChazon Ish, but here it's no problem. Right. It's in the Loma Kabul Tumah.
It's a head there of the Magen Avraham that you could do it via something in between.
Oh, I know here that... Yeah, okay. All I know is I saw a from shoes, and they're not makpid on the Chazon Ish. That much I can tell you. Eidut Nehmana from this past Sukkot. I don't have a problem. I don't think I have a problem because I tie it down. I don't have a problem. It's like
by the way, the Chazon Ish himself, in his tshuva, says that the whole chumra of Maimid doesn't make sense to him because in the Gemara it's only Rabbi Yehuda, not Chachamim. But if you want to be Machmir,
right,
then the Chazon Ish says you got to go all out.
Right.
He himself says he thinks it's a huge chumra he doesn't understand.
The Rav once said a vat, I don't want to quote the entire vat, but he said when it comes to the Chazon Ish, we say his chumras, not his psakim. A chumra of the Chazon Ish. I heard that from the Rav in the 50s. All right, I want to wish everyone...
With camel milk, our contract imam at the prison told me, because a camel is not halal. It's not something that the Arabs can eat.
Uh-huh.
But they can drink the milk, but then they have to wash themselves after it.
Uh-huh.
But they can't eat camel meat, but they can drink the milk.
So
then they wash themselves afterwards.
So we drink milk and we don't become fascists from it. So we're on the same level, Baruch Hashem. Until we meet again in health and happiness, thank you so much for participating. And I still stand amazed that the people listening in New York and Chicago, Florida, you could hear it live on, but you don't see me. But what do you have to see my crooked nose for? You can hear my voice on YU Torah. But I know what you told me. Until we meet again in health and happiness tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Das
Shavua
Tov. Shavua Tov. Umavorach.